Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation on this Cantate Sunday is the Thomasius Gospel lesson appointed for today, which we find recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 15, the first 11 verses, which read as follows. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, beloved hearers of his precious word. One doesn't have to be a green thumb or an avid gardener to be able to appreciate the beautiful text before us this morning. Although the season of the year is clearly appropriate for it, and this past week in particular had provided our first real chance to get out into the yard and to experience firsthand the parable picture that the Lord Jesus sets before us here in our text. And whether we like gardening or not, whether we raise plants or kill them merely by looking at them, we are part of this picture. For we are living branches in the vine of our Savior Jesus Christ, he says. We are branches that should be producing this season, not just lush foliage, but a bumper crop of first-class fruit. You see, my beloved hearers, and for today at least, students of spiritual horticulture, the Lord Jesus is speaking here in our text about living, carefully grafted, properly pruned stock. Not plastic or silk plants that may look good, but have no life in them. He is describing true believers, their care and feeding, and their intimate relationship with their Savior. Unless we become self-assured, according to the arrogance of our sinful flesh, self-assured about our ability to withstand spiritual wilt and rot and fungus and insects as branches in the vine of our Savior, lest we think that is all about us and in us to produce the desired quality and quantity of spiritual fruit on our own, our text describes and instructs us concerning the total dependence of us branches upon Christ, the true vine. Everything about our spiritual condition that is good and desirable is produced in us by Jesus through his precious word. It doesn't come from within, as the so-called New Age gardeners would have us believe. Let us look first at the condition of us branches, how we got that way and why. Jesus says in our text, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the gardener, the vineyard keeper. God the Father is the vine dresser in this vineyard. It was he who already in eternity planted our Savior, as it were, from the foundation of the world to be our Redeemer. Anointed or specially chose him to give us life when we were dead in trespasses and sins, to quicken us by grace without any merit or worthiness of our own, and to graft us into himself as living, thriving branches instead of leaving us spiritually dead twigs. And the Heavenly Father tends this precious vine of his to make sure that its branches are producing the fruit that he desires. Jesus says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, the Father, taketh away. A branch that resists, resents, and rejects all of the Father's professional care as the perfect horticulturalist in his vineyard, They die on the vine, and the Father prunes away and throws them on the compost heap. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He trims it. He cuts back the suckers. He cleans up the branch and he invigorates it so that it produces even better than before. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, Jesus says. Now we, as branches, have been cleaned up and grafted and made fruitful branches through the word. In other words, we who once were strangers and foreigners, alien branches have been grafted into Christ Jesus, as it were. We have been made part of him by means of his precious word, the gospel. So here then is a picture of true faith in Jesus Christ, worked in us by the Holy Spirit of God through the word as his means or instrument. So that the Apostle Paul says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You and I have been born again. We have been made over, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, for the purpose of bringing to us salvation, for the purpose of bringing us into possession of salvation. Paul writes to the Romans. The gospel has the life-giving power that comes from the vine, from our Lord Jesus Christ, and is infused into us branches by the preaching of the word. If a branch is alive, if the graft has taken, as we say in garden speak, if the newly grafted branch is healthy and potentially fruitful, shooting forth buds in great abundance, it is the power of the word that accomplished that, Jesus says in our text. Conversely, if there's dead wood still hanging on the vine, it's neither the fault of the vine nor the fault of the husbandman, both of whom want every single grafted branch to take. Both of whom want every single grafted branch to survive. Both of whom want every branch to thrive. But if there's dead wood on that vine, neither is it the fault of the word, as if the word of the gospel were not efficacious, as if the word of the gospel were not, in fact, the power of God unto salvation, but just something by the wayside that we can either use or not use as we see fit. It's that such branches rejected the word. Such branches, even though they had been grafted into the vine by the good and earnest purpose of the Lord of the vineyard himself, despised the preaching and teaching of the word. They resisted the loving attention of the husbandman, which he exercises through the word. And so we confess concerning our conversion to faith in Jesus, the true vine, and of our being engrafted into him, I believe that I cannot of my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. But my dear friends and fellow branches, there's not going to be a significant harvest of fruit at the end of the season if we don't cling to the vine. If we don't stay attached to the vine where we have been grafted onto it, or as Jesus says here in our text, if we don't abide in him. Some grafts are only temporary. The branches grafted in do not always take nourishment from the vine. They want to do their own thing. Some branches lose their strength to bear fruit. They become weak. They fall prey to disease and the attacks of hungry insects. And finally, they wither and die without having produced any fruit. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's what the Lord wants for us. It's the word that keeps us abiding in Christ, the true vine, specifically the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. And the Apostle Peter underscores this when he says, ye are kept by the power of God, by the power of the gospel, through faith unto salvation. Right to the very end. Right to harvest time. Now, if we don't want to fall from our own steadfastness and lose our engrafted relationship with the Lord Jesus, then the Apostle Peter exhorts us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get your nourishment from the vine through his precious word. Grow as branches. Thrive as branches. Become disease resistant as branches who know the difference between truth and error. Be resistant to temptation. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we want all of that, don't we? As branches in the vine of our Savior. And so, prompted by the Lord Jesus' words in our text, to ask what we will, we pray in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, for example, that our Heavenly Father would give us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word. And as a fruit of our faith, lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. Apart from the word, there is no strength to abide in the vine. Apart from the word, there is absolutely no stamina to produce fruit. Apart from the word, there is no staying power to resist the enemy. In fact, apart from the word, there is no desire even to grow. No desire to bring forth fruit. For that desire is produced in us only by the word. And the result of letting go of the vine, once we have been implanted, is truly tragic. Jesus says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Dead and unfruitful branches, which either fall off the vine by themselves or are pruned away by the heavenly husbandman. Spiritually dead wood that shows no life and never grows, never produces, will end up fueling the fire of hell. And that's not what the Savior wants, as we well know. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, God says, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? The Lord Jesus wants us to abide in his love. That is, by faith, hold fast to his great love for us, whereby he sacrificed himself to be our Savior. He wants us to continue in his love and not to be just erstwhile Christians who were once baptized into his name, who were once confirmed in the faith, who for a while believed and in time of temptation fall away, as the children learned in the parable of the sower this morning. Jesus wants us to keep his commandments, not to earn his love, not to gain his favor, but particularly to obey those gospel imperatives which enjoin us to continue in the faith. In childlike confidence of God's mercy to poor sinners for Jesus' sake. For there is none other name. There is none other vine under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And this is the work of God, Jesus says. This is what God wants us to do, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. John 6, verse 29. May God graciously keep us in his word and faith unto our end, lest we become spiritual casualties like those whose love has grown cold, as Jesus says in Matthew 24:12. Those whose spiritual circulation has become so sluggish that we can hardly discern a heartbeat anymore for the sludge in our spiritual circulatory system. Those who have forgotten, as the Bible says, what they once learned and what they once knew. Forgotten the sins from which they had been redeemed. Forgotten the old life from which they had been rescued. Whose graft in the vine of the Savior has rotted away so that they can't abide in him anymore. From this, preserve us, dear Heavenly Father, we pray with Luther. From this horrible consequence, preserve us, dear heavenly husbandmen of the vine. On the other hand, if we by the grace of God, conveyed to us by the Holy Spirit and through his word, abide in Christ, our one and only true vine, by sincere faith in him as our dear Savior, we will also, as fruitful branches, produce more than just lush green foliage. Jesus doesn't want us to look like living branches. He doesn't want us simply to look as though we are alive, as the church sign over in Crestwood once read. Get busy. Look alive. Jesus is coming again. He doesn't want us to look alive. He wants us to produce. He says, I want you to produce fruit. Fruit of faith to his glory. Not just dribbles and drabs of fruit, but fruit in abundance. People who glibly state in their ignorance that works are not required of Christians, and that when works are performed, God is interested only in the quality, but not in the quantity of our fruit. When they say that a little fruit is just as pleasing to God as a lot of fruit, such people either don't know what they're talking about, or they're trying to make excuses for the one or two hard, green, small, and wormy crab apples on their branches, instead of the lush, sweet, and blemish-free fruit that the Lord Jesus wants us to produce. Jesus says in our text, he that abideth in me and I in him, if we're really attached, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. That's how we prove, that's how we show both to ourselves and to other people that we are his disciples, that we follow after him, that we're on his page, that we're doing what he wants us to do, that we are producing according to how he wants us to produce. Now, why don't some branches produce more fruit? Sad to say, it's because they're not motivated as they should be. They're not motivated by the best motivator that there is. They're not motivated by the sweet gospel of the Lord Jesus. They are branches who once knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as all branches do from the Word of God, which made them branches in the first place. But tragically, that saving knowledge deteriorated into mere head knowledge, a knowledge that just doesn't get them excited anymore, a knowledge that doesn't move them. They resist and despise the very power of God unto salvation that he has given them for their life, for their health, for their strength. The promise of eternal life to all believers doesn't seem valuable enough to them in their own estimation to prompt good works in abundance. Because eternal life unto salvation is to many erstwhile branches something theoretical. We can't see it. We've never tasted it. Maybe we haven't tasted that the Lord is indeed gracious, as the Apostle Peter tells. Such branches are spiritual cheapskates and skinflints who dare to withhold his due from God himself. God wants fruit. God wants abundant fruit. And such slackers say God needs to just get in line with everybody else who wants something from me. And he needs to be satisfied with what I give him. They show by their works how little they appreciate God's forgiveness of all their sins. For Jesus says in Luke 7, verse 47, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And their grafts grow weaker every day as they produce less and less fruit. And what they do produce, they produce with a grudging spirit. Oh, my dearly beloved brethren and fellow branches in the vine of our Savior, when we realize from his precious gospel how much God has done for us and for our salvation in Christ Jesus, our precious vine, how he reconciled the whole world, including us, when we were his enemies, unto himself for the sake of our Savior's vicarious atonement, not imputing our trespasses unto us. How he, by the Holy Ghost, through the gospel, invited us to partake of Christ's blessings of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that are set forth before us in the invitation of that gospel. How he worked in us the faith whereby we accept Christ and all of his wonderful spiritual benefits. And when we have the saving security, the knowledge according to his own word that we have been grafted into him, not merely laid in his presence or lightly attached, but grafted into him as the vine. And when we know that it is his will that as living, thriving branches enabled by the power of his word to produce abundant fruit, if we know all of that, then our spiritual production should be at an all-time high. We should not grow weary in well-doing, says the apostle. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. We should abound to every good work if we're not resisting the prompting of God's Holy Spirit through his word, who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For the love of Christ manifested to us in the word of the gospel, in the power of God unto salvation, the love of Christ constraineth us, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of Christ, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, motivates us. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ puts the arm on us, as it were. It forces us. That's what constrains means. It forces us, not legalistically, but evangelically, to bring forth evidence of our faith in fruit that both we and others can see, so that they glorify not us, but glorify the heavenly husbandman. Glorify our Father which is in heaven. In that too, we branches are totally dependent upon our Savior and His precious word to bring that to pass. Oh, then may His great love for us poor sinners move us to ever grateful fruitfulness, not to earn His favor by our works, but to show how much we rejoice in His favor toward us, earned by our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For that is the purpose for which He desires the abundance of our fruits, to be to the praise and to the glory of His Heavenly Father. For He says yet here in our text, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." May that fullness of joy be yours and mine by His grace, already here in this present life, as we by faith abide in Him, as we by faith look forward to the joy, yea, the glory that shall be revealed in us when He comes again, when He harvests to His heavenly home those fruitful branches, to the place where there is fullness of joy, where there are pleasures at God's right hand forevermore. To that blessed end, we pray to our precious Savior, "Thou art the vine. O, nourish the branches, graft in thee, and let them grow and flourish a fair and fruitful tree." Thy Spirit pour within us, and let His gifts of grace to such good actions move us as best may show Thy praise. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by continued faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.